Well, I mentioned Monday night that maybe we would take a look at the influence of the Magi as they traveled to Judea and look at some of that. We talked a little bit about that, but there's just so much on that I'm going to hold that for another time. But tonight, I thought we could look at some of what God's Word says and what true astronomy says in light of the birth of Jesus Christ and when it took place. It's quite fascinating to see the connection, how God's Word fits with natural science. And especially what we're going to be looking at, astronomy. Now, we're not talking about astrology here. That's a false doctrine. But true astronomy goes right along with the Word of God. And we're going to see that. God's Word talks about the stars in the heavens. Who made the stars in the heavens anyway? God did. God did, real big time. So we're going to take a look at that. And there's a lot. In the Old Testament, prophecies of the coming Christ, what would happen, some details with the name and what tribe he would come from, things like that. But there's one verse in Genesis 3:15 that starts this subject off. And really, this verse is the key verse, the single verse that sets the central theme of all the scriptures. And that's the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So in Genesis 3:15, it says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman." Thee is referring to the devil, right? And the woman. "And between thy seed and her seed." Okay, does a woman normally carry seed? No. No, the male brings the seed into conception there. But it's talking about her seed. Now we know that God created that perfect seed in Mary to bring forth the Christ child. "It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." And this is significant in light of the devil would bruise his heel, would Jesus Christ would pay the price with his life for the redemption of all mankind, but yet in the end, he would be victorious over the devil, right? He would destroy him. So, and this starts a red thread, if you will, of the Redeemer, which is woven throughout the Old and into the New Testament. But we're going to look at the scriptures connecting the Lord Jesus Christ and his coming with astronomy here. So Genesis 1:14, you're probably real close. Turn back a little bit to Genesis 1:14. "And God said, Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for what? Signs." Signs. First and foremost, these stars in the heaven, these lights in the heaven, the firmament, were to be for signs, would tell a story, and for seasons, and for days, and for years. So God intended that these heavens would tell the story of the coming Christ. And it does. It's a fascinating study, but we're not going to get into that tonight. Now in Psalms 147 verse 4, and I'll just quote this to you. "He telleth the number of the stars, he calleth them all by their names." Now, how many stars are out there, do you think?
Millions. Millions,
billions.
Billions. Billions of trillions of billions of trillions of them. There's just so many, they can't even number them. And yet, God, who created them, what did he do? He numbered them, and he gave them names. I don't know where he got all the names from, but see, God had intention for everything he did. Pretty fascinating, huh? Mm-hmm. Now in Psalm 19, a neat section in the scriptures talking about the heavens, and verse 1, we'll read verse 1 through 6. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. So right here we see in God's word that God taught his people what he was going to do, his glory into the stars. The stars are set, right? And so he would give them the groupings, different groupings, and he would show them and use them to tell the story of the victorious coming Christ. And the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night shows knowledge. So at night, as you look up in the stars, if you were taught in those days, you would see the story of the Savior coming in victory. It tells the whole story of what he would go through and the victory that he would have in the future. Verse 3 says, there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. You cannot get away from the word of God. You look up in the heavens, I don't care where you're at on this planet, there is the word of God. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. A tabernacle is a tent or a place where the sun would go through it. So what God did, as the sun would move through the sky, that would be a pathway of the sun. Those star groupings that were in that pathway, he would name them, and they would be what we call today the 12 signs of the zodiac. Okay? That's kind of the corruption that's come into it. But a lot of those names of those signs that we use today came from ancient times. So far back in history, they can't tell where they came from. But a lot of them carry over from hundreds and hundreds and thousands of years. And what is really amazing, when you look at different cultures around the world, many of those cultures recognized these same star groups and had similar names for them. Fascinating study. But here we see in God's word that the stars is significant in communicating God's word. Now, the best book I know when it comes to this information that is in the stars and what we see in God's word here in light of the coming promised seed of Jesus Christ is Dr. Werwolf's book, Jesus Christ, Our Promised Seed. Okay? And I'm going to share from this book a little bit. And actually, I have a few handouts here that you can have that goes over some of the information that I'm sharing with you. But I think many of you probably have this book, and I would encourage you to take a look at it this time of the year. And I'm going to go to page 67, and this chapter here covers the day and time of day of Christ's birth, okay? And that's what we're going to look at. And I'm going to start later on here in page 67. Biblical, historical, and astronomical evidence converge on 3 BC as the year of Jesus Christ's birth. Building on this information of 3 BC as the year of Christ's birth, we can look at additional biblical and astronomical testimony and determine with precision the date of Christ's birth to the day and even the hour. The 12th chapter of the book of Revelations presents as essential information for pinpointing this exact time. And with the handout that I gave you, it has that picture there, okay? And that picture is the star group Virgo, which is the woman. And again, in many of the cultures around the world, it would be a woman. It's the only woman star grouping of the 12 groups that are in that pathway of the sun, and she's holding some grain. They all have some kind of grain that she's holding on to, and that is the seed, the representation of the seed there. And of course, that represents the woman and the birth of Christ from Mary. So let's read Revelation 12, verse 1 through 5. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun. Okay, so this is Virgo. She's on the pathway of the sun. And the moon under her feet. And so for the moon to be under her feet, it would have to be a certain time of the year where that would happen. And of course, you know, in our planetariums, they can go back. You give them a date. And because of everything in the stars and how they work, they fit with a mathematical exactness and a scientific precision, they can show you exactly what the sky looked like. You name the date, they can do it. They go back to 3 BC and they look at what we're looking at here in Revelations, where this Virgo is right where the sun would be. And the moon would be right at her feet, okay? And upon her head a crown of 12 stars, and she being with child cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and that great, behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her children as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And that's the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And, of course, the adversary didn't like Jesus Christ being born, right? So what did he do when Jesus Christ was born? What did Herod do?
He tried to catch all of the youngest.
Yeah, from 2 years and under, kill them all. Kill all the kids. And so what happened to Mary and Joseph and little baby or the child Jesus, because by the time this occurred, Jesus was a young child, maybe a year and a half or almost two. Well, where did they go and how could they get there?
Egypt.
They went to Egypt, right? Told Joseph to take the family down to Egypt. What covered their bill to get there? To take the flight. The Magi came and gave them gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So those were all very valuable items that would allow them to do that. So it's amazing to see how these things fit. And so when you go back with, like, in a planetarium and you put these pieces together, we see that time would have been in September, 3 BC. But let's read on. Here in Revelation 12, Events past and present, or future, sorry, events past and future are revealed regarding the spiritual warfare between the true God and the devil. This passage describes a vision which God gave the Apostle John. The vision involves symbols and words full of great truths. Their meaning can be recaptured by a diligent search of God's word. First and foremost in the written word, and secondarily in the word written in the stars. Parallel truths can be found in both. This entire passage in Revelation 12 takes on a profoundly significant dimension when analyzed in the terms of astronomy. Revelation 12:1 says there appeared a great wonder in heaven. The word wonder is the Greek word simeon. In Greek literature, simeon is used of any kind of sign. But a notable usage is in reference to a sign of the zodiac. This is particularly interesting in the context of Revelation 12, for the sign is said to have appeared in heaven. This sign spoken of in this verse is a what? A woman. And the only sign of the zodiac that could correspond to this description is the constellation Virgo. All right, and I've shared that with you already. Revelation 12 further specifies that the woman was clothed with the sun, another celestial body. The sun, as it appears to travel through the ecliptic each year, that's the path of the sun, enters into the midbody between the neck and the knees of the constellation Virgo, clothing her with the sun for approximately a 20-day period. So this one astronomical detail shown in John's vision narrows down the astronomical event he is describing to a 20-day period during any given year. In the year 3 BC, the sun was in this position from August 27th through September 15th. The woman in Revelation 12 was not only clothed with the sun, but also the moon was under her feet. With these two specific details, the sun and moon found in Virgo, we can be very precise in our computation of time. In 3 BC, this configuration of the sun and moon in Virgo occurred on one day only, and that was September 11th. This configuration of the sun and the moon in the constellation Virgo was observable in Palestine between sunset and moonset, this twilight period being called night. On September 11, 3 BC, sunset was at 6:18 p.m. Moonset, when the moon goes down below the horizon, at 7:39 p.m. Based on the information given in Revelation 12, it was during this 81-minute period that Jesus Christ took his first breath of life and became a living soul. Even as Adam did in Genesis 2:7, perhaps even at the beginning of this new day. The description given in Revelation 12:1 exactly chronicles the astronomical occurrence of the evening of September 11, 3 B.C. Isn't that fascinating? Just amazing. Let me finish this last paragraph. Verse 2 of Revelation 12 describes the woman as being in labor, ready to give birth. Verses 3 and 4 recount symbolically the adversary's fall from heaven and his plan to slay the child as soon as he was born. In verses 4 and 5, the woman's labor finishes and the child is brought forth. Verse 5 refers to the child's birth and ascension to God's throne. Clearly, from all these specifics, the child can be none other than the Christ, the Messiah, the promised seed. Isn't that fascinating? Mm-hmm. Just amazing. And, you know, this is information. I mean, what can you do with this information? Can you take this and then believe God for His promises? Well, not specifically, But when you see how the word fits in life with the things that God has created, you start trusting God's word a little bit more. You see that God did have a plan and that his plan was in perfection. So, yes, we can believe the other parts of the word of God that gives us his wonderful promises. We can trust him at those places as we can trust him what we saw here tonight. So, what a wonderful revelation that God would put this in his word and we could know exactly when our Lord and Savior was born. So we got a great big wonderful God, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, pretty neat. So Father, thank you for your son and all that he is, all that he represents, and all that we are because he did what you called him to do and he lives within us today. So we're just so thankful, so grateful that we can learn some of these great truths and just trust you more and more as we see your word fit. So, Father, we love you. We're grateful that we can fellowship with you and that we can have great expectations as we walk out on your word. And we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Well, let me get this guy out of the way.